Well, some of the world's top health officials are gathered in Geneva this week for the World Health Organization's annual World Health Assembly. And top of the agenda is the Ebola virus outbreak of last year and the WHO's capacity to respond to future emergencies. Amongst those gathered in Geneva is Professor Michael Kidd, the Executive Dean of the Flinders University Faculty of Medicine, Nursing and Health Sciences, also President of the World Organization of Family Doctors. Michael Kidd, thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks for the opportunity, Fran.
Michael, top of the agenda is Ebola, the Ebola outbreak of last year and this year, and I guess the way the WHO responded to it, dealt with it. Is that much of the talk there today?
Yes, today was the first day of the assembly, and the Ebola crisis has certainly dominated the discussions. You know, the Ebola crisis has been an unprecedented tragedy on a number of levels. It occurred in countries which had experienced serious civil unrest. They lacked basic health infrastructure. Very importantly, they lacked strong primary care services, which could have picked up the problem quickly and been a fundamental part of the effective response. Also, a lot of concern about how long it took for the gravity of the situation to be appreciated by the global community and for effective response teams to get on the ground.
And just on that, we'll pick that apart a bit, but on that, did the WHO take some responsibility for that? Because in a sense, it was slow to declare this a crisis. I think Médecins Sans Frontières was the one group who was months out in front of WHO on this. Was that analysed? Because I guess the rest of the world responds, in a sense, to what the World Health Organization declares.
Well, yes, you're quite right. I mean, the Médecins Sans Frontières has done a fantastic job with its teams in West Africa, and indeed the first group which travelled to West Africa to tackle the Ebola crisis was missions from Cuba, medical and nursing missions, which went across from Cuba to assist colleagues in West Africa. But yes, there's been a lot of soul searching, I think, within the WHO about the response. And Dr. Margaret Chan, the Director General of the WHO, tackled this head-on today. She talked about the timeliness and the effectiveness of the WHO's initial response. She talked about the need for a much more formal program of WHO response to emergencies. And you've got to remember, this has been an unprecedented emergency. It's different from the sort of large-scale emergencies which normally occur due to natural disasters. For example, the recent earthquake in Nepal, where many agencies are equipped to very quickly be on the ground providing care and providing services.
But Michael, it's not different to things like necessarily, well, it is different, of course, but it's more akin to things like the spread of, say, avian flu or swine flu or something like that. What was the discussion today in terms of why the WHO response was found wanting? What went wrong?
That's a very good question, and it's not clear, at least to me, what the responsiveness is to that. And the WHO now has over 1,000 staff on the ground. Mm. They're looking at developing a global health emergency response workforce of trained emergency response staff who can tackle these sort of disasters involving infectious diseases. Probably the most comparable experience we've had in the past decade has been the SARS outbreak, which again was a very serious disease with a high fatality rate. The difference with SARS was that it was picked up in countries with very sophisticated health services, like Hong Kong, where it first appeared, and indeed where Dr. Chan led the initial response so effectively. And you know, this was a country which had already its health services, its hospitals, its teams ready to go. Yet in West Africa, that just didn't happen on the ground.
And I guess the question is why. You're listening to RM Breakfast. It's 22 past six. Our guest is Dr. Michael Kidd from Flinders University. He's in Geneva for the WHO World Health Assembly in Geneva. Obviously, part of the issue, and we've discussed this a lot on Breakfast in the past, is that although Liberia has now been declared Ebola-free, that's not before 11,000 people have been killed, 26,000 people are ill due to the virus. Of those deaths, 500 are healthcare healthcare workers. That's going to make an immediate hit to the capacity of a health sector of a country like Liberia or Sierra Leone or others to cope with this disaster. Is it that level that the World Health Organization should have a system, and maybe they did already, to move in to shore up a struggling health system to make sure others aren't then getting sort of jammed up in the closure of hospitals and things caused by the outbreak, and people aren't dying for otherwise avoidable causes?
Yes, I mean, that's one of the hidden tragedies of the Ebola crisis, with the health systems having been totally paralysed by Ebola, with the loss of so many frontline healthcare workers and their family members to Ebola. We just don't know how many children died of preventable diseases during the Ebola crisis, how many children died of malaria or pneumonia or gastroenteritis, how many women died in childbirth who would otherwise have been assisted by basic healthcare services available in those countries. Certainly one of the other big agenda items for the WHO World Health Assembly this week is the new Sustainable Development Goals, which will be announced by the United Nations at the General Assembly in September, which are the goals for the world for the next 15 years. And a big part of the Sustainable Development Goals is looking at how we ensure universal health coverage. How do we ensure that every person on the planet has access to basic healthcare services? And at the moment, we know that there are 1 billion people on the planet who don't have access to basic health services. And of course, countries like Liberia, Sierra Leone and Guinea are countries where healthcare services are severely constrained.
Michael, it might be unfair to ask you this because you're in Geneva and this news is happening here, but today it's reported that the federal government in the budget has decided to axe the Medicare-funded healthy kids check at the GP. And I ask you this because it's World Family Doctor Day today and you're the president of the World Organization of Family Doctors. Do you have concerns about that, or do you agree with the minister that perhaps it's not essential to have this specific program, that parents can just be encouraged to take their kids to a GP? Anyway.
Well, Fran, you're quite right. I'm in Geneva, so I'm not on top of what's happening in Australia. But clearly, looking after our kids is absolutely essential, and it's an essential part of general practice in Australia. It's an essential part of the work that family doctors do in countries right around the world. And you know, I'd be very concerned about any initiative which is going to impede our ability to look after young people.
Michael Kidd, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for the opportunity, Fran.
Dr. Michael Kidd is from Flinders University, joining us there from the World Health Organization, World Health Assembly in Geneva.